Good morning, Symphony Church. Today's passage is taken from 2 Corinthians 11, and it's quite a long passage, so I encourage you to follow along in the Word if you have your Bibles open. Here's 2 Corinthians 11. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way we have made this plain to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you, God knows I do. And what I am doing, I will continue to do, in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. I repeat, let no one think me foolish. But even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. Amen. This is quite a confusing passage without context, so I'll give some background for what Paul is talking about here. In the previous chapter, we see Paul making reference to a group of people who are commending themselves. It's a lot more clear here that Paul is now addressing these quote-unquote super apostles and condemning their behavior to warn the church in Corinth. Paul's anger comes when he sees that the church is being taken advantage of by these super apostles. Pretending to be better leaders, the super apostles are using their newfound authority to extort the Church of Corinth for their own gain. Worse yet, they also make attacks on Paul's character, calling him timid and an ineffective speaker. They point to his sufferings and poverty as if to say, how could this meek man be the kind of person you want to follow by example? In response, the Church of Corinth has strayed away and allowed these bossy super apostles to preach a new gospel in their midst. Their walks with Christ are now being manipulated by these self-centered people who live lives of comfort and power. Paul doesn't retaliate at these super apostles just because he is concerned about his own reputation. As we saw in 1 Corinthians, Paul actually could care less about how many followers he has or how much power he commands in the churches. Rather than living selfishly like the super apostles do, Paul lives a humble and selfless life out of the love that he has for God and for others. One example of this is that while doing ministry in Corinth, Paul suffers intense personal losses and regularly asks for money from other churches to help him in his missions. However, everything that Paul has chosen to give up is for the sake of the gospel, that new believers may come to know the true and living God. What does it look like to live in obedience to God like this? As Christians who have been rescued by Jesus, we recognize that God loved us so much that he paid a huge price to adopt us into his family. Like any healthy relationship, responding to God with love means giving up ourselves for the sake of what he wants in us. However, too often we may fall back into self-centeredness while we're following him, even with our best intentions. In small decisions, we may disagree with or complain about God's new direction over our lives. It could be something as simple as, God, I'm too tired to pray in the mornings. Or, God, it's too hard to love this particular brother or sister as myself. Aren't you happy instead about all the other people I've loved? I'm sure all of us have experienced that it's an uphill battle to live as self-sacrificially as Jesus and Paul did. We all forget God's commands. Or, when we remember, we try to fight against the temptation and lose. As Jesus himself said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In our walks with God, we will inevitably struggle with obeying him. What matters to our Father, however, is not the accumulation of good or bad deeds, or victories or defeats, or like track record, but what we do in those pivotal moments of weakness when it actually is hard to surrender to him. Do we cover up our faults and try to redefine our salvation as these super apostles did? Or, like Paul, do we rely instead on the redemptive power of God, choosing to boast in our weakness and his strength? Brothers and sisters, as we spend time in the Word today, I hope we can really come once again to God and proclaim that he is the Lord of our lives. Maybe for you this means spending some of your personal time in worship to meet with God, or being honest with him about that certain part or person in your life that you're struggling with. As we move ourselves into these daily rhythms of dependence on God, I believe that he really loves our humility rather than our boasting. That's when we grow to know him more intimately. Let me pray to close this out. Abba Father, Lord, I just thank you for this word. God, when we were poor in spirit and anxious about our faults, Lord, you sought us all out and you gave us a new command to love you first and love others. God, we confess to you that it's difficult to see ourselves in weakness and that too often we would rather be secure or well-liked or successful in our own eyes rather than in yours. But God, you do not despise a broken and contrite heart, and you take pleasure in mercy rather than in burnt offerings. We pray that as we follow you, you would provide for us our daily bread and honor our sincere devotion to you. Lord, as we meet with you, would you come and reveal more of yourself to us as we bring our obedience to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.